This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 24 من شهر شعبان 1445 الموافق لخمسة من شهر مارس 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped last درس. If I'm not wrong, we talked lastly about the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها. قالت كانت يد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اليمنى لطهوره وطعامه وكذلك ليسرى لخلافه وما كان من أذى. Aisha رضي الله عنها said, the right hand of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was dedicated by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم for his tahur. He's making tahara, he uses the right hand. وطعامه, when he eats, he uses the right hand. وَكَانَتِ الْيُسْرَ عَلِ خِلَافِهِ, and he uses the left hand for something that is opposite and things which are not good. So when he relieves himself, he washes himself, he uses the left hand. So anything that is not culturally good, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used the left hand to address it. So I guess this is the last hadith we talked about last week. The next hadith is the hadith of Atiyyah. قالت إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لهن في غسل ابنته زينب ابنأن بميامنها ومواضع الوضوء منها. She said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told them when they were washing his daughter Zainab bint Muhammad, this is the oldest daughter of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when they were washing her after she died. As you know, all of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died before he died, except Fatima, who died 6 months after his demise. So Zainab, when she died, Atiyyah was the one who was leading the ghusl. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanding them about what to do. So in one of those instructions, he told them, he said, "Ibda'na bi mayaminha wa mawadhi' al-wudu'i minha." You should start with the right part of her when you're washing her, the right side. وَمَوَاضِعِ الْوُضُوءِ مِنْهَا, and also the places where she washes whenever she performs wudu. Yeah, that's what we got, that if you are washing the dead body, you make wudu for him. You know, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you should start with the right side and also the places where she washes when she she's making wudu. So we learn from this that the right part is given preference over the left to support the topic and the title mentioned by Imam An-Nawawi. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا انتعل أحدكم فليبدأ باليمنى وإذا نزع فليبدأ بالشمال لتكن اليمنى أولها تنتعل والأخرى لتكن اليمنى أولها تنعل وآخرهما تنزع. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you decided to wear his shoes, he should start with the right foot. You're wearing the shoes, you start with the right foot. And this is, I guess, where Ibrahim ibn al-Adham took that statement of his when he says, if you can make your life, you know, from A to Z, all about following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including how to wear the shoes, you should do that. Iwallah, that's the peak of obedience to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed for us. Everything you do in this life, you try to get a sunnah that supports that. So you try to do it according to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Subhanallah, that would be the most excellent life. Your life is always in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You eat, you remember Rasulullah, and you eat the way he eats. You sit the way he sits. You know, you drink the way he drinks. Forget about what people are saying, you know. Drink the best way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to drink. You take, you give, you receive, you know. Do it according to the sunnah. You meet people, meet them according to the sunnah. You know, you go back to your family, meet them according to the sunnah. That's the best life. And bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, if this is your attitude, inshallah, you will not be deprived meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Because the most deserving people to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment and to be with him, they are the muhaddithun. You get idea why the muhaddithun? Because they always sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And nowadays we replace that with pubu. What is the other word? Saad. Subhanallah. And you can see a person will be writing a book or an article. It is only one place that he mentioned a hadith. But he doesn't have chance to write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every place he is writing a complete sentence except when it comes to this. So, if you make your life like this, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, insha'Allah, you might be given this gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. Because your life in this dunya is all about being with him in this dunya. We lost the physical, you know, company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we can still have the spiritual one, which might be the most important one, you know that? Yeah, because if you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you disobey Rasulullah, that doesn't benefit you anyway. It doesn't benefit you in any way. But if you do not meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you learn his sunnah and you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely, that will be better than somebody who met him and is not following him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Huraira this hadith. He says, if one of you is wearing his shoes, he should start with the right foot. وَإِذَا نَزَعَ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالشِّمَالِ. And if he is removing the shoes, he's taking them off of the foot, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he should start with the left one. That's why he says, لِتَكُونِ الْيُمْنَ أَوَّلُهَا دُخُولَ أَوْ هِيَ أَوَّلُهَا تُنْعَلْ وَآخِرُهَا تُنْزَعْ. Let the right foot be the first one that goes into the shoes. Because there is a benefit, right, in wearing the shoes. Yeah. That's why there is a wisdom. Although some narrated it as a hadith, but that hadith is weak. It says, مَا يَزَالُ الْإِنسَانُ رَاكِبًا مَنْ تَعَلُ. You keep on being in a state of riding something, as if you're riding something, as long as you're wearing shoes. And I guess this is experience. If you wear shoes, your movement is lighter and much easier than when you don't wear the shoes. So it helps a lot. So this is a privilege. And when it comes to giving privileges, then you should start with the right one, right side, because it is favored by the Sharia more than the left side. So he said, let the right foot get in first and let it be the last one to go out. It goes inside. The first thing that goes inside your shoes is the right foot, and the last one that goes out is the right foot. So you start with the right when you're wearing the shoes, and when you're removing the shoes, you start with the left, so that the right foot will remain with the shoes for a while before you take it off. قال وعن حفصة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يجعل يمينه لطعامه وشرابه وثيابه ويجعل يساره لما سوى ذلك. حفصة, the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the daughter of Umar رضي الله عنه, she said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kept his right hand لطعامه وشرابه وثيابه. The right side, the Prophet ﷺ uses it for the food and the drinks. And also when he wears the cloth, he puts the right hand first before the left hand. قَالَ وَيَجْعَلُ يُسَّرَاهُ لِمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. And he make the left hand for anything other than that. قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا لبستم وإذا توضأتم فابدأوا بأيمانكم. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said whenever you wear your clothes and whenever you perform wudu, you should start with the right side first. So all of these supporting evidence, you know, to support the title mentioned by Imam al-Nawawi that the yameen, the right hand, is being given preference over the left hand, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ وَأَنَا عَنَسٍ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَتَى مِنًا فَأَتَى الْجَمْرَةَ فَرَمَاهَا ثُمَّ أَتَى مَنْزِلَهُ بِمِنًا ونحر ثم قال للحلاق خذ وأشار إلى جانبه الأيمن ثم الأيسر ثم جاء ليعطيه الناس. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to Mina. You know Mina, right? Mina is a place where the Hujjaj stays when they're performing Hajj on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, and also they come back to it on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah to do those four activities that a Hajj does on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar. Rami al-Jamrat al-Aqaba, shaving your hair, tawaf al-ifada, and slaughtering the animals. These are the most important activities to be done on that day. It's a very, very special day, which is the day of Eid to us. To them is Yawm al-Nahr, because they are slaughtering the animals, but to us this is the day of Eid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Mina, and also this is the place where the Hujjaj stays for day number 10, 11, 12, and 13 if somebody doesn't want to go back home on the 12th. So Mina is the place where you find the Jamarat. Jamarat, these are the stones, the shakhs that you go and throw the stone, you know, on them. Some people think that these are shayateen. It is not, you know, it's just symbolic things that we're supposed to go and throw those things. And people have to fix this belief, because having this belief is causing so many people trouble. Yeah, because when they go to the place, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you go and throw the stones, you should use pebbles. These are small stones, you know. These are small stones, very small. It's like the small stone that you put on your hand like this when you want to shoot and play with the stones. Very tiny thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, I warn you from exaggeration and going beyond the boundaries. But subhanAllah, people don't do that, because his sheikh told him that the shaitan is there being tied, you know, and he remembered all of the tragedies the shaitan used to put him in in his life before he reached Makkah. So he comes here to take revenge with knife and stones and shoes and Allah and umbrellas, you know. You find everything is in that place. So Jamratul Aqaba, this is the farthest one, the one that is near Makkah. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he came to Jamratul Aqaba and he threw the stone on Jamratul Aqaba, قال أتى منا فأتى الجمرة فرماها ثم أتى منزله بمنا ثم أتى منزله بمنا ونحر ثم قال للحلاق خذ وأشار إلى جانبه الأيمن ثم الأيسر. So after he threw the seven pebbles and those small stones on the Jamrat al-Aqaba, the Prophet also come back to his manzil. Manzil means the tent which is provided for him by the companions. So he come to that place, فنحر, and he slaughtered those animals. How many camels the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered? 100. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah ﷺ came with 100 camels. Ewallah. So that you will understand how bad is the situation of those stingy people. They make tamattu, but they don't want to slaughter a sheep, and they have a capability to do that. They go for fasting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought 100 camels. He managed to slaughter around 60 or 60 something, and Ali bin Abi Talib completed the rest. He asked somebody to go and cut from every camel one flesh of meat. And he asked somebody to cook it for him. They put them all together, that means 100 pieces of meat. They put them in the pot and they cooked them all together. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ate some and drank from the soup. Why did he combine all of them? Why did he get from every hadith? So that he can, you know, be sure that he takes from everyone. Because if he drinks from the soup is a mixture of something that is taken from all of them. And from this one, some scholars believe that the udhiyah and the hadith, you have to eat it. It is a must. You must eat. Although the vast majority of the scholars said it is mustahab. But since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, why can't you do it, you know? Especially in Makkah, usually that thing, alhamdulillah, nowadays, they have a way to deal with the hadith. Before, it wasn't like that. You go to the place where you slaughter the animals, you can see a lot of dead animals on the way. People slaughter and they left it because there's nothing you can do with it. You don't have a house in Makkah, you don't have anything, so you just slaughter, you leave it there. But alhamdulillah, nowadays, they have a system that take it and give it to those people who are in need of it. So if you are the one who slaughter your animal, you have an opportunity to do that, which is the best also. Because the best is if you can go and do it yourself, don't give it to the companies and organizations. Because slaughtering is an act of worship. Allah wants to see you doing that. That's why he says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Yani the meat and the blood will not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it going to reach Allah? The sincerity you have when you're slaughtering. This animal, you are slaughtering it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what benefits you. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see you do it. It's okay when you assign somebody to do it on your behalf, but why can't you do it yourself since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see you doing it? So I'm talking about opportunities. If you have chance, this is the best. You know. That's why it is wrong. And it's not wrong in the sense of committing sin, but it doesn't sound good for you to slaughter udhiyah and you have the chance to do that, but then you give it to somebody to do it on your behalf. If you can do it, you do it yourself. Yeah. Unless if there is any benefit that you are aiming for, that's something else. But you are in the country and you're going to slaughter in the country and you give somebody to do it on your behalf, this is not good. Unless if you're so coward you cannot see animal being slaughtered, then this is something else. So the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered almost 60 something and he ate from all of those 100 camels. So after this, the Prophet ﷺ called upon Al-Hallaq. Hallaq means the one who will shave his hair. Yeah. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he shaved. You have so many people when they go to Makkah, they don't want to shave. Why? Because they love the hair so much. Yeah, I remember one of the students, we tried to convince him to shave his hair. Whenever he looks at the mirror, he saw his hair, he changed his mind. out of the barbershop, we convince him. But the moment he goes, you know, in front of them, there are those mirrors, right? Whenever he sees his hair, he tells So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma arham al-muhallaqeen. Ya Allah, show mercy upon those who are shaving their hair. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for the one who is trimming also. He says, Ya Allah, show mercy upon the one who shaved. He said, Ya Rasulullah, please include the one who is trimming also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Allah, show mercy upon the one who shaved his hair. They said, Ya Rasulullah, please let those one get involved also. And then he told, okay, let them get involved. You know, three times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for them. And then at last, after they pressure him so much, he says, okay, no problem, let them get included. In the Quran, at least, Insha'Allah, Amineen muhalliqeen ru'usakum wa muqassirin. He says, you're going to go to Kaaba and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there and in a state of peace. Muhalliqeen ru'usakum. He started with shaving first and then wa muqassirin. Therefore, I really advise you, the hair grows. Yeah, don't worry. Just go and tell the guy, just shave him everything. If you love your hair so much, put some mask and close your eyes when he was doing. Don't look at the mirror. And it's okay. You don't know how much Allah is going to give you. Who cares about the hair? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called the person who is supposed to shave his hair. Wa ashara ila janibihi al-ayman thumma al-aysar. He told him, start with the right side first. Start with the right side first. And then he told him to go to the left after the right one. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ يُوْطِيهِ النَّاسِ. And then he, after, when he shaved, he said, give me the hair. So the man hold hair because he has, usually he has a long hair that comes to his shoulder sometimes or to the level of the ears. That's fine to do that. Not as a sunnah. Yeah, we have to differentiate between a sunnah al-jibiliyah, the sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does in a state of ta'abbud. There are things which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for himself, which are part of his cultural practice. You don't call them sunnah, the sunnah that you advise people to go for. But a person can do it out of his love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will be rewarded for that. And that's the best way to do it. But there are things which also you have to look at your country, the place you're living in. Because these are not wajibat. When it comes to wajib, practicing the wajib, you don't look at anything. You have to do it because it is wajib and obligatory upon you. But things which are not Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they don't ask you to do that. You live in a community that tolerates this, then go like that. That would be good. And remember that this is what unless in things which are wajibat, then you have to do them whether everyone is doing or nobody is doing. But when it comes to mustahabbat, when it comes to other things which are permissible, Islam doesn't want you to go against the community. That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah used to say that inna min al-mustahabbi tarku al-mustahabbi li-ta'lif al-qulub. It is mustahab to stay away from something that is mustahab if you know that doing it in this place will cause clashes and fighting amongst the Muslims and separation. Divide the unity amongst the people. That's the statement of Shaykh al-Islam in his book Al-Qawaid al-Nuraniyya. And this is very good for us because we have in some communities people who fought the communities for things which the Prophet ﷺ did not make them obligatory. And subhanAllah, sometimes the thing they are fighting others, what others are doing is also correct according to the Sunnah. Iwallah, a witness, you know, people who are fighting others, you know, for doing something which is also correct. So subhanAllah, if what you're doing is correct, what I'm doing is correct, what is the point of bringing something different which might cause trouble in the community? So what to do in this regard? Teach people first, slowly and gradually. Let them get familiar with the teachings and then you can come and do it and nobody will have any issue. You get either, this is very important. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, إِنَّكَ لَن تُحَدِّثَ قَوْمًا حَدِيثًا لَا تَبْلُقُهُ عُقُولُهُمْ إِلَّا كَانَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ فِتْنَةً. He says, you will never say anything to the people which their aql cannot comprehend it except that it's going to be out of his hair and then the left part, and then he took the hair and he distributed it to the people. Yeah, give it to the people. قال وفي رواية لما رمى الجمرة ونحر نسكه وحلق ناول الحلاق شقه الأيمن فحلقه ثم دعا أبا طلحة الأنصاري فأعطاه إياه ثم ناوله الشق الأيسر فقال احلق فحلقه فأعطاه أبا طلحة وقال اقسمه بين الناس. الله أكبر. أبو طلحة, this is the stepfather of Anas ibn Malik, married to the mother of Anas ibn Malik, Umm Sulaym. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ, after he called the person who is shaving the hair, and he gave him the right side and he said, shave it. So he shaved that one. So he called Abu Talha, he said, hey, Abu Talha, come. Prophet ﷺ gave him that one. This is yours. And then he asked him to shave the left part. So he shaved that one. So he took it, he said, Abu Talha, this one take it and distribute it to the people. Why is Rasulullah ﷺ doing that? Because he is the only one on earth that his body, his clothes, Allah SWT make it like this. He put barakah in it. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ spit, the companions used to jump and make sure that they stop it, you know, and they get it and they wipe it on their faces. Because they know what it means. They used to take those pieces of the hair and put it in the water and give it to somebody who is suffering from fever and some other illness. And subhanAllah, it used to be very effective. When they gave him, they got the cure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was not done to anyone. Abu Bakr was the second person after Rasulullah. There was no case whatsoever that the companions used to do this with him. Umar, Uthman, you know, Ali ibn Abi Talib, all of those great companions, that was only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rest of our scholars, we respect them. We show them respect, we give them what they deserve, but we don't do with them in the way we treat the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We really have to be very careful, because up to date you have some practices which are not in line with that which is known to the predecessors. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, as you see, he started with the right and they gave it to Abu Talha, and then he cut the left and gave it to Abu Talha. But the left hair, the left side, you know, the one that he cut, he asked Abu Talha, قَالَ لَهُ اِقْسِمْهُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. He told him and he asked him to distribute it amongst the people. So I guess this is the best place to stop. This is the last hadith actually under this chapter. The next is the Kitab Adab al-Ta'am, the book of Adab of Eating, inshallah. This one we take it in the next Dars, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Okay, the first question is about somebody who says going to the masjid is an act of worship, which is true, and therefore you shouldn't use car because using the car is innovation. Yeah. So what do you think about that? So this person needs to be taught what innovation is all about, because innovation is to introduce something in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is not part of it. So he claimed that this thing that you're doing is Sharia, is Sunnah, and it has nothing to do with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is innovation. Good idea. There are dunya things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us to facilitate, to act as a means. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not have cars, they did not have bicycles, they did not have motorcycles, but they have animals. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said wa masha wa lam yarkab, and he walked without riding, never said that you shouldn't ride. And in fact, one of the greatest act of worship, which is the tawaf, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it riding his camel, on the camel. It doesn't work. He went for Hajj, he was riding. Get it? But because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants you to benefit and to get your full step being counted for you, that's why he advised you. To my knowledge, nobody amongst the scholars who ever called using animals in the past or in our time using the cars or other, you know, vehicles as innovation or going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the contrary, they take it as a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate. Imagine a person who cannot reach the masjid easily. Rather than praying at home, which one is better, to use the car and come to the masjid or to pray at home? Of course, to use the car and aeroplane if he has, come to the masjid and pray. So as I said, this person needs to understand and differentiate between innovation and benefiting from the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the dunya, things he created for us. All of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them for us. So you can use them to facilitate your going to the places of worship. Unless where the Prophet ﷺ advised you not to ride, he said walk because of the footsteps that will be counted for you. Not because using it is innovation. Nobody understood this. Yeah, but because Rasulullah ﷺ wants you to get the benefit of the footsteps where Allah ﷺ will be counting them for you. There is another question about living in the West and how to get the proper knowledge and all of these things. The first thing I will advise somebody who is in that place, if he doesn't have any necessity that keeps him in that place, come and live with the Muslims. This is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's much easier for you to preserve your religion. And second thing also, I will advise him to understand that the most sensitive thing in his life is the religion. And therefore he has to be very picky when it comes to who to take the religion from. Not every single person that claims to be a scholar or a preacher or a student of knowledge is that one. And therefore you have to open your eyes and make sure that you're taking it from the correct people who fear Allah and they have the knowledge to guide you with. This is a very serious matter. In the past, they don't joke with this. Only those who qualified to give, they refer people to them. And when it comes to the religion, they know that this is the most important thing that brought you here. They don't take it anyhow. They take it from the people that they believe between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are qualified to give them the fatwa. And this is my advice, not to the people who are living in the West, but anywhere in this dunya. Because we have so many people who are wearing the clothes of scholars, but they're not. And you are in here with so many people also who, you know, subhanAllah, apparently they act like righteous people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who they are. So you really need to be very, very careful. What is the other question? Yeah, somebody is asking about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also al-ikhbaru anillah. Talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very restricted topic. You cannot give Allah a sifat except that which He gave Himself. Does it? When it comes to talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is good and doesn't go against those principles in aqidah, you can mention. You can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this and that. All of those things that you might be taking them from the sifat. That's why they said, Babul ikhbar anillahi awsa min babi sifat. The chapter of the sifat is much wider than the chapter of the names. And the chapter of the ikhbar anillah, talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is much wider than the chapter of the sifat. But names and the sifat, this one, you cannot give Allah any name except that which He gives Himself. Or you got it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when it comes to talking about Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qawi, Al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mawjood, He does exist. You know, all of these mentions of the scholars about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the books of Aqidah is full of it, these are all min bab al-ikhbar anillah azza wa jalla, which is a lot. And the sifat is restricted to that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. Does it? So I guess this is the last question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with all of you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.